Because God has something for us that's not just about today. Aren't you grateful for today? His mercies are new today. We can rejoice. This is a day that he's made. Amen? But you know what this day is? It's part of where we're going. Man, wow, that's major revelation for you. You might want to write that down. Today is on the way to where we're going, because God, every day becomes something that God's wanting to utilize to take us to a place that he has before us. And, you know, this, man, I shared something on Wednesday with regard to this. That everything's about preparation. I mean, this happens in life, period, but everything that you're doing on a regular basis, the little habits that you get involved in doing, they're a part of where you're going. Because, you know, it's like on a journey, or especially back in Jesus' time, every step was significant in getting where you're going, right? It takes that to get there. And so it's very important to make sure what your steps are on the way if you're going to get where you need to go. And so we were looking at this. We came out of a time of fasting during in January, and we were talking about the destination that God wants to have us go, to have him be the one that's charting our course. And we believe that God's done that already. How many have had that happen already? You've seen some things that God's doing. I think you need to make a note that it's God that's doing it. And give him glory for it, right? And then you have faith for more. But part of what we've been talking about in the last couple weeks that I've spoke is about how to get where you're going, you need to know who you are. And what we've been given in Christ is an identity that is essential to getting where we're going. You have to know who you are and see yourself doing that. This happens in sports all the time. These guys have to visualize themselves doing what they're doing in order to get there. They have to say, that's who I am. I'm the man. It's funny when you hear them talking, yeah, my team and my coaches and my this and my that. Why? That's because they identify with how great they've become. And everything is about seeing yourself there for you to be able to do that. Well, one of the essential things is to be righteous. And so we talked about that a couple times. I want to talk today, though, about the preparations that will be essential. I really know that God is taking us as a body, the Church of Christ, in these days. There's some things getting ready to happen. You just sense it, right? Remember Jesus talked about it. He said, man, you guys can tell when a storm's coming. Can you not tell that something's getting ready to happen? Amen? We need to be, but we need to not be oppressed about it. We need to be encouraged, energized about it. Amen? Because God's getting ready to do some, well, he's doing some stuff right now. Sometimes I don't like to put it off in the future too much. I like to say he's doing it now. But I want to be ready to participate in what he's doing. How many would like to be a part of what God? Did you know that everything that God's getting ready to do, a lot of it's going to be through people? For some reason, he chooses people that are, has anybody met a perfect person? I've not met a perfect person. And I know there's not one in my mirror. But that's the kind of people he chooses. And that's the kind of people that he's going to operate through. But there's a part that we have to play in preparing who we are in the mirror. We might not be perfect, but what do we have? What can we go towards? Amen? So, I'll start off a little bit differently here. How many have gone to a really nice restaurant at the recommendation of a friend or something, or maybe a Google thing or something? And I thought about this because you can go to a really, you know, I know Larry was talking. Larry makes some really great meals for our men's things, and it's a lot of fun to go there. But he was talking about how they're getting ready to go on a trip out to the East Coast, and he said, he was just talking about sometimes you just want to go spend a whole bunch of money on something that's just like really nice, you know. And it's amazing to me. I've gone to places like that before, and I'm expecting because I grew up in Eastern Colorado, you know, where it's like family dining, you know, where you just fill your plate. That's a good meal. It's when you fill your plate. But it seems like the more you spend on money, the less there is on your plate. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, And it's all about some squirrely little stuff that they do on there. They think that they're all proud of that. You know, it's like, that's where all that money's going, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, it can be the most the meal can be the most savory, well-prepared by some, you know, famous dude somewhere. But what happens if they bring it out and laying right next to that wonderful steak that's shrunk compared to what you thought it was going to be, what the picture showed, you know what I'm saying, is a nice hair. And then you look on the glass, you know, the water glass, and there's a remnant of a previous tenant, or person. You see a little bit of, what just happened? It doesn't matter how good that food is, does it? Doesn't matter how, what's fixing to happen? Maybe we're leaving. I don't know, but right? You know what I'm saying? And man, I thought, wow, this is, what do we have? Yeah, what are we here to worship today? What are we here to partake of today? It's the best, is it not? There's nothing better. It's what we have to give. If there's an opportunity before us, it's going to be to present the very best meal anybody could ever partake of. Is that right? So why would it not be partaken of, though? It might have something to do with its container. Can you see that? With the plate that it's coming on. Now, I don't want to hit us too hard, but we need to, can you see the correlation here? It's so important what we're doing with ourselves. Because we have laid claim, and I don't know if somebody doesn't know the Lord here today, but as soon as you know the Lord, you're not just somebody that is ready to receive from Him. You're somebody that's carrying Him. You're representing Him. And He will never be any less than the most wonderful presentation there is. Maybe not the presentation, because the presentation has to do with us. Can you see that? And it becomes very critical. The preparations are not, God has done the preparation of Christ. He's presented Him as the Lamb that was slain for us. And He's perfect. He preserved Himself. He didn't have one single hair. You know, he was perfect. Right? But now, we're the ones that are supposed to be presenting Him. Can you see how critical it becomes? The preparation. God's done His part. Now, for Him to be received. How critical it is that we take care of the container part. Can you see it? Man, this is coming out a little heavier than I meant for it to, but it's good, right? Let's read this out of 2 Timothy 2:20. The purity of the vessel is essential for what it is carrying. Amen? I like this because, you know, I've kind of grown up sometimes feeling like there was a lot of stuff coming at me that, boy, you have to do this, or God doesn't like you, or you should feel condemned about this. What I like about this is it's not so much about, you know, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's what's so wonderful about Jesus. But do you want somebody else to have Him? Because somebody else is going to need it to be presented from a vessel of authenticity. He didn't come to just leave us the way we are. He came to change us. He came to make us pure. He came to make us whole in every way. That's why we talk about, you know, we say that these things are being provided for. It's not that that's what our focus is. We love Him. But He's such a good shepherd that He takes care of us. Amen? And if we're going to present this shepherd to somebody else, we better be taken care of. Amen. Can you see it? All righty. Second Timothy 2:20. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If who? You. This isn't somebody else's responsibility. This is my responsibility. Is that right? Is that what it's saying? If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for everyday good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. What are these things? Now, we're going to see something that's really going to help us with this later on, because it's not just about something that we're trying to do in our own self, okay? But these, what are these things that are being talked about now? They're blemishes, aren't they? They're things that would cause him to not be presented on a good plate, right? Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteousness, living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. What's he saying here? You're going to have to hang out with somebody that's not going to get you down. That's not going to cause you to be drawn into things that would not represent the purity of this meal that we're trying to present. Can you see that? There has to be a withdrawing from an entertainment of things that are going to cause there to be blemishes on our presentation. Right? Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. What you're into is not about some kind of religious superiority of what you know. Right? And that's actually a blemish. That's actually a stain against him. Right? A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those hearts, people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. So he's saying, for you to be used in the opportunity that I have that's in front of you, there's a need for you to be preparing. You know, some people, so how many have a dishwasher at home? We got a dish. We moved into our house. We had, it was a foreclosure house, and so the people that were in there before us, they tore out all the utilities, or all the, like, the refrigerator and the appliances. Thank you. I'm keeping y'all awake, aren't I? All right. All the appliances. They took out all the appliances, and so we put in this new dishwasher. My problem with dishwashers, I don't know if you're like this at all, but I hate it because you have to rinse them off completely before you put them in there. Is that right? Yeah. Now, they claim that you can just put them in there, but what I hate is not knowing if they're dirty or clean and not being able to tell by what they look like. So I would rather just wash them by hand, dry them off, and you're done. That's how I remember Grandma's house up in Colorado, standing with the freezing cold on the other side of that window, and you're standing there with somebody and you're doing it together, and it becomes much better than a dishwasher. But somehow people feel like it's not really clean unless it's been in there for an hour and a half, going through a whole bunch of different cycles, and then you pull it out and it still has water stains on it. It's like, and I paid for that? I don't know how I was getting into that, but there's a need for there to be a presentation of who we've been connected with. Amen? So let's look here. So what are we actually preparing for? And this is where it becomes critical. I've already alluded to it a little bit. But let's look at what 2 Corinthians 5:20 has to say about this. So what are we actually prepared for? We're preparing for what? We are Christ's ambassadors. How many ambassadors? How many aspiring ambassadors do we have? What does that mean? You know, it's so interesting to hear me. There's a lady that gets up, and they ask her all kinds of questions about the president, And she, whatever she says is what the president, represents the president, doesn't it? Whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is, right? Same thing. Somebody goes over to across the ocean, and when they show up, it's America showing up, isn't it? So they can't just be however they want to be. Now, if you're an elected official, I guess you can just wear a hoodie or whatever else you want to wear. But I'm sorry, I couldn't help but go there. But if you're going to represent America and you're going to go to another country, you have to wear what they tell you to wear because it's not just you anymore. You can actually bring down the image of what you're representing by how you present yourself. Is that true? Okay. We are Christ's ambassadors. That means when we show up, who's showing up? He is, right? God is using us to speak to you. We beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God. This is the message that we're going to have, and I'm seeing this. I just encourage us. We have an opportunity at the end of this month. We're going to call it Easter Sunday. We like to call it Resurrection Sunday, but we're going to be wanting to welcome people into what we're going to be doing. So we're going to go ahead and use the world's term for Easter, okay? And you might not understand what I'm talking about with that, but we're just not going to be religious about it. We're going to say this is what we're doing, right? But I compel everyone in this body to not just plan on being there, but to be engaged with it, like he's doing right here. Because what's necessary, and what we have the opportunity, and this is just on this Easter Sunday, we have an opportunity to present Jesus. We're going to have some music. We're going to have a little bit of teaching. We're going to have a sunrise service. But you know who people are going to encounter? Each one of us. And you know something I notice, even right here, is when we have a guest. I've been watching you too close, but but what I know is that a guest is more impressed by the person sitting next to them than they are in the person in front of them. Because you show whether what I'm saying is real or not by what you live. By your attentiveness, by whether it means anything for you. Amen? And the same thing for these people that we're going to be, that aren't going to be a part of this body, that are going to be in the service, that are going to be people from the community, whoever they are, people that don't know the Lord, he is going to be there. Amen? Where is he going to be there? In us. And we want to prepare so that there's nothing there that would keep him from seeing, being seen. Can you see that? How critical that is? Amen? Because how many believe that if he can just be seen? Jesus said that. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people to me. If he could be seen for who he actually is, don't you think it would help people? And all these little things that was talked about in this previous verse, how we're living in our private time is going to be obvious in the presentation of Jesus. Amen? That's how that hair got there in the first place. Somebody didn't have their hairnet on in the back room, right? They thought they were good. They said, no, it doesn't really matter. No, it does. What we're doing in private determines how well the presentation of Jesus is. Amen. So this is partly why we're going here, because we have a specific time on this Easter that we can prepare for. We can say we're going towards this. Because when we show up as a church body, we are all going to be authentic. Amen. We're going to be purified. We're not going to be living halfway. We're going to be walking in victory. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you some stuff, because sometimes it doesn't look like that at the moment. You can be going through something. But this is why we live by faith. We don't live by sight. Amen? All right. Are you good? Yes. All right. So how is our vessel cleansed and prepared to carry the glory then? So we're talking about this. We need to be clean. We need to be getting ready for this. Amen? So it's not a matter of going home and saying, okay, oh man, I just gotta try to be good, I guess. I don't know what that exactly means. Well, let's get some help with this, okay? All right. The truth of our identity cleanses from the old residue. Now, so we've lived in our house for, I won't tell you how long, but it's been a while. So from when I first got that dishwasher, it's like brand new. I mean, we haven't hardly used it. But what was not like brand new was the door of our shower upstairs. I don't know if we have hardness in our water. Anybody else have hardness in your water? And I mean, almost gets to where you can't see through it, right? And so I've done this. You know, you can get those scrubber things. You know, yeah, but I mean, they got a little bit of, you know, grit to them, you know. I've scrubbed on that thing before, scrubbed on it, you know. And I've done my best. And that stuff just does not want to go. But my wife is really brilliant. You can tell by looking at her, she's just smart and wonderful. And she got this spray, and you guys know what I'm going to say, right? It's vinegar. What's cool? Y'all have done this, I'm sure. But man, you just spray some vinegar on there, and you don't have to scrub. What? It'll clean out your drains. It'll clean out that water, that white stuff around the tap. And then you go back, and then you still have to do something. But the work has been done by the application. Amen? Okay, can you see this? So many of the time when we feel like we're getting squished into trying to become some kind of holy this or holy that, or, you know, it can become more of a weight than it is a liberation. And what we've been given in Christ is not that. It's some vinegar. All right? If you can see what this is. Instead of seeing what we're not, we begin to see what we are. Amen? And when we see what we are, it begins to cleanse us from those things that look like we were not. Amen? What happens every time we fall into something that is these things that were being listed, you know, anything, even an attitude you know what it says? It says that anything that's not faith is sin. Wow. This is a hard one, right? So how do you get around that then? Just add some vinegar. All right. Let's look at Titus 3:4. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because we had a really good scrubber, right? Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, his vinegar, right? He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. So remember what Jesus said, Cornelius? No, not Cornelius. Came to him by night. Nicodemus, there we go, thank you. Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime. He said, what do I have to do to get eternal life? What do I have to do to get free from this restricted life? And he said, you have to be born again. What does being born again do? It gives you a new identity, right? He says, before we did anything right, because this preparation is not a natural one that we can do ourselves. All we can go by when somebody tells us that we got to get better is what we've experienced so far, which is mostly failure, right? we have not succeeded. That's why we're where we're at, maybe, you know. But he says, no, before you did anything right, before you could get anything clean, I already saved you. I already cleansed you with a new birth So now what needs to be done is you apply the new birth, and then you just wash it off. Amen? With the Holy Spirit. Can you see this? All right. Giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. So now what becomes our focus is not to see what's wrong, but to begin to see what he's already done. What Jesus came to do for us is complete. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to try to walk in love. This is who we are now. Oh man, this is so good. Because our minds, our world surrounds us with this continual conflict, this continual strife, this continual bantering about things that gets our mind in a mindset of failure. And what that is, it's the world's way of seeing things, that when we're living in that, we're not really able to show Jesus because we're still in the old. Can you see that? All right. All right, let's look at this. I've got three different versions of Philemon 1:6. Are y'all ready for this? My brother-in-law, I mean, I traveled back. 1983, I traveled with Mark, and one of his big things was he had like 10 different versions of everything. So you could see it from all these different angles, you know. So anyway, I've got three today, so I feel pretty good about myself. This is my righteousness at work here. No, I'm just kidding. Our preparation for compelling others is displaying Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could just show up and Jesus shows up? Actually, that's the plan, right? That's actually the plan, all right? Philemon 1:6. And I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives too. Huh. Can you see what this preparation is supposed to be? You can't give anybody a Jesus that you don't believe in yourself. Amen? All right. As they see the wealth of good things in you that come from Christ Jesus. It's not enough to just say, don't you judge me. You don't know where. No. We need to see some good things. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about somebody else seeing Jesus. And they're only going to see Jesus if they see some good things. Right? It's like singing about his goodness. His goodness is running after. Oh, thank you. Getting a lot of help today. His goodness is running after. What's the purpose of his running after goodness? So that we can be overwhelmed with his goodness so that it looks like him to somebody else. Amen? A lot of times we can sing this and we can just become so sorrowful about how good God has been all my life. It's just so... And really, it's supposed to be so good that it becomes something that people can't help but partake of. Have you ever watched somebody eat something and your mouth starts watering? Man, that looks like it tastes so good. That's how it should be. Our savoring of the present of the life of God should be something that is obvious for somebody. Now, man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be poor. God doesn't lead us to be poor and to be sick and to be mentally deranged. He's wanting us to be whole. Yes. Came to give us life abundantly. Okay, I'm into the second one now. All right. What about that second one? Amplified. The ladies' version is always the best. All right. And I pray that the participation and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge. Don't you like that? Precise knowledge. That means there's something there that I can put my finger on. I can say, yeah, I see that. Amen? Of every good thing. Huh. So there's some things that we need to be focusing on, right? Not just blind faith, but some precise focusing on some things. that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So what, remember Nicodemus? Man, I remembered that this time. Nicodemus, he said, there has to be new life, Jesus told him, right? Why? Because now when you get new life, you get new things. But it doesn't do any good to get new life if you don't know about the things, right? You can't believe for something that you don't know about. You can't look like something that you don't know that you are. All right. Philemon 1:6 in the KJV. And I like the K. I'm trying to use my Texas accent. KJV. We just saw this movie, The Hill. Anybody watch that? It's about a guy from Texas that was, he was lame as a boy. Ricky Hill. And it's kind of interesting. But man, they're from Texas. I noticed that because they talk that like that. I normally don't say movies, but it was an encouraging one. It was a good one. So anyway, the KJV, that wasn't a regular one, all right. That the communication of my faith, I like this version of it because I like this communication. That means somebody needs to hear, somebody needs to have it communicated to them that what I believe is real. Amen? Why would people want a Jesus that isn't real in you? And all you're telling them is that they're going to miss out on hell if they get Jesus. Well, they don't even know. Well, you don't believe anything else about him. Why would you believe that about him? You know? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That means it's going to be working by the acknowledge. How's it happening? Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Here's what's so cool about every good thing that is our identity in Christ is that's the vinegar. You start seeing the things that are good and they will cleanse you from the things that are bad. Amen? And it's a whole lot more fun. Are you with me? Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I've just got a couple more, if we can hang in here, because there's some things we can do that we have to be doing. How many have a spouse with a snout? I was just trying to make it kind of rhyme with mouth there. Has a sniffer. She can tell if you're in an odoriferous state. All right, that happened to me yesterday. I was fixing to go mow the yard, and she said, "Didn't you have that shirt on yesterday?" It's like, that's why I put it on right now, because I'm getting mowed. You know, it's like, why waste it, you know, kind of a thing. But man, it's really good to have like this kind of a mate that doesn't let you just go without bathing. Without getting that stuff washed off of you. My mom used to say, go outside and get the stink blowed off of you. Well, that's really not how it works. There's a different stink that you get when you go outside. But how many of y'all took a bath today? I think you did. You're looking really good. I can't smell anybody other than myself. And it's like, you know? How often should, and what is that preparation? What happens if we're not cleansing ourselves for a while? It's a progressive thing that it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something that you can actually put up with. People do. You know what I mean? It's like, how did that happen? Well, they just missed a few and decided it wasn't that big a deal, I guess. I don't know. But how do we... What we're looking at here is these good things that need to be looked at. They are not optional if we're going to remain prepared for the preparation of him. Amen? They are part of the purification process that is not optional. It's like, don't send you, it's like your mom says, use some soap when you get in there, you know? Don't just get wet. Use some soap. It's part of the process. And it needs to be very regular. This is why in the Old Testament it said, put these things before you all the time. What are they? The thoughts of God is what they are. Amen? But what we've gotten in Christ is so much better than the law. It's an identity that we get. Amen? All right. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Did I read that? Okay, I didn't. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? The obedience of what he's given us. All those things. That means no longer am I just going to observe them. I'm going to be obedient to them. Amen? What did Jesus say? He said, if you don't obey me, you don't believe in me. And you don't love me. Right? Obey what? And this is really cool. What we've gotten in him is not just a bunch of directives. It's a bunch of identity. That now, instead of saying, oh, that's kind of cool that that's how Jesus was, we say, oh, that's so cool. I think I'm going to be that too. Can you see the difference? And now, his life becomes my directive. Man, that's really good. All right. And we lead every thought. So what happens is we begin to find out those good things that we become in him. And now a thought that would come in, an action that would come in, a way that would, anything that we could do that would cause there to be a blemish to our presentation of Christ gets washed away by an identity thing that we have in him. Can you see that? Actually, this is really good. If you lay, how many are going to lay hold upon this? Yeah. All right. Okay. One more. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone so that those who receive this, his new life, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. All right, so what is he saying here? Now we cannot begin, and this, what will happen, the more we get an identity of the things that we are in Christ, it will transform the vision that we have for other people also, which is critical. Amen. You know what Jesus said? He said, how people are going to know that you've even been around me at all is how you treat each other. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a little bit of help with that. Right? The way I get that is to identify with Jesus. Amen. And he purifies those things that would keep me from thinking it's about me. I've died. My life is hidden with God in Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen? And for that to be a reality, I better know. How is that going to be applied on a regular daily basis? I'm going to have to begin to look at who I actually am. I'm not going to find that looking in the mirror. I'm not going to find that listening to what somebody else says. Definitely not Fox News or MSNBC. They're not going to help me with that at all. Right? Notice how I put Fox News first. So we know it's good, right? Why? Because the world cannot tell you who you are in Christ. Only the Word of God can. So if you're never going to get your cleansing in the Word of God by what he says about who we are, we're going to smell like the world, and nobody's going to receive Jesus because we smell like the world. Amen? Okay. So there has to be this vigilance. Or we don't allow any of that anymore. Amen? Just one hair is enough, right? Just one smudge is enough. What am I going to do about that? I'm going to have to become a little bit geeky about this. I'm going to have to kind of care about this. Somebody could call me being another word, but I'm not going to use that. But you got to be really, it's going to have to mean something to us. Amen? So I want to encourage you. We have something in the app. I challenge you just to just apply this, especially if you're going through some identity crisis with who you are in Christ. How many have ever gone through that? I do. Amen? This is why we have this washing. It's a washing. It's a regeneration by the word of God. This is what we've been given. But we have to apply it. Amen? On our website, in the app, if you go to the more on the bottom of the app, there's a confessions button there. It's a place where you can go and you can see what I'm talking about. I know y'all might be familiar with this already, but man, my familiarity with my shower doesn't mean I don't use it. That makes sense? Just because I've become familiar with the Word of God doesn't mean I don't apply, I don't get washed by it every day. Amen? I don't say I already know that. No. I say I know that so much I want to get washed again with it. Amen? It's like somebody persuaded me to get into this cold plunging thing I've referred to before, but it's mindless how I do this. It's like, I know I'm going to hate it, but it's like Stephen said, somehow there's this, what do you get, some kind of dopamine hit or something? How in the world? We need to be getting some hits by our identity with Christ. It should be transforming our state of mind. It will if we apply it. Every time, if you would just take 5 minutes, if you would take 15 minutes and just go through, not try to analyze, not try to internalize, just hear what the Word of God is saying about you. Yeah. Amen? What it's doing is it's washing, it's preparing, it's enabling a reality that's already there to be cleansed from the junk that got on top of it. Amen? And what it's doing is it's preparing us for what God has before us. People need the Lord. The world is going to hell. They need the Lord. How are we going to do that? Not by just getting a good sermon and going out and trying to figure out how some program to do that. It doesn't do any good if we persuade somebody to have a Lord that hasn't transformed us. Because all they've done is just given in to fear. It's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. What we need is repentance. Not just giving in to a fear. We need a change of life. We need transformation. Amen? The only way that's going to be sellable is if it's happening in us. Not happened in us. Happening. Amen? God wants to prepare us. We don't know. What I love about this is it has nothing to do with how great we are at all. It's how great He is and how we just apply ourselves to Him. Amen? But He's looking for somebody. He's looking across the whole earth right now with somebody whose heart is perfect towards Him. How does that heart get perfect towards Him? When it's ensconced in what He says about it. Amen? So impassioned with what God is saying. Man, I'm encouraging. We have an opportunity every day to be cleansed, to be purified and prepared. This is an ongoing preparation. I encourage us. This cannot happen. We don't expect something right now, but something, a day is going to come when we wake up out of bed and there is an opportunity before us that is mind-boggling, that will require that we are prepared. Amen. It might just be somebody that needs to know the Lord. that we'll be able to share to them out of an authenticity that's not some kind of prepared rote thing, that's coming from our testimony. Amen? Because he's real to us. Amen? Can we do this? Can we make this part of our life? This, the same thing is on the website. I believe it's under media. If you're on our website, the declarations of faith from the Word. You're not limited to these things. Amen? But you have to start hearing what God says about you and let that transform how you see you. And that process is a cleansing. And this is actually really beautiful. It's really wonderful because it doesn't require any effort on our part to actually be the one that's making the change. It allows the Holy Spirit to do the work. What happens when we see who God's made us in Christ, we can begin to believe it by faith. Everything about God is by faith. It's not by need. He's already done it. He's already come for the need. Amen. He sent Jesus for the need. Now, it's faith that makes that happen. Every time we behold something, that the thing that Jesus came to change in us, now we can begin to believe it and act on it by faith. Amen? And that's how we go from glory to glory. We behold his glory. We go to another glory. We see something about who we are. That's a glory, isn't it? The things that we behold in Christ are an image of his glory. But when we begin to say them about us, it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Can you see it? Praise God. Oh, let's do this week, can we? Let's make this our life. I know this is what we're doing to some extent already, but man, let's take it up another level. Can we do that? Because I desire for us to put this into practice on this Easter, for us to show up the church. Amen? Not just feeling like we're having to show up because pastors asked us to do this or because, you know, we're having to go outside this. No. This is an opportunity to have a plate that's purified, a glass that's clean, and a Jesus that's received. Amen?